Good evening, everyone. I think it's we're about to start. Welcome to, I guess, our ordinary council meeting for March, the second meeting for the year. I would like to acknowledge, on behalf of the council, acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land on which this meeting is taking place, and pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging. In regards to the members of the gallery, you are advised that this meeting will be audio recorded. Also to the elected members, this is audio recorded. Also, no council decisions from tonight's meeting will be communicated or implemented until 12 noon on the first clear working day of after this meeting, unless council by resolution carried at this meeting requests the CEO to take immediate action to implement the decision. In regards to attendees, we have two approved leave. We have Councillor White, who's on leave, and Councillor Brockman. For those in the audience, I will do some introductions for those that are underaware. Okay, I'll start to my immediate left. We have Councillor Wilson, okay, Councillor Collinson, Councillor Harrington, Councillor Boyd. Everyone knows Janine, okay, and our CEO, Jonathan Throssell. Okay, exec manager Fraser Henderson, exec manager Jack Scott, exec manager Peter Kosian, and then we have deputy mayor Lucinda Maywood, and last but definitely not least, councillor Bec Cutter. Okay, welcome everybody. Moving on, do we have any disclosure of interest from elected members? Okay, that's nil. Public question times. I would note that we have responded to the questions from the last meeting. Those items are in your reports and are available online. Okay. Is there any public question time today? No, there isn't. But I understand there's a deputation from the Instrumental Bowls Club, Croquet Club, Fortune Slip. Okay. Who would like to come up? Alistair? Yep. And come and sit. And if someone can, Mark, can you help Alistair with the... Yeah, thank you. If others want to join him, you feel free to, if you need to. Otherwise, welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity. I think all the councillors have been given three pages of a prepared document, and I'd just like to briefly summarise it. So, as we know, circumstances have left us in a difficult situation, but it does require a considered and reasoned response. Croquet has been an Olympic sport. World champions can be in their 20s. The club is 120 years old this year. It currently has between 50 and 60 players, steadily but slowly increasing. But the numbers have been limited by the poor quality of the courts and only having two and a half courts, but the half court is pretty useless. In spite of that, we offer the cheapest annual fees and court fees in Perth. We hold an additional 10 to 20 events per year for groups like birthdays, glide-in, rotary, etc. We don't advertise that, it's just by word of mouth. The club is in a very good financial position and could make a significant contribution to what we are suggesting. There are only two metro clubs south of the river, Como and Gosnells, before you get to Mandurah. So I believe there is a great opportunity here. Croquet would need a minimum of four good courts to host tournaments. These tournaments would be national, interstate, intrastate competitions. If we had four good courts, we would be in a good position to be the centre for croquet in Western Australia. I am told if we had five, we would be guaranteed to be in. Besides the quantity and quality of the courts, other aspects are to consider in your deliberations are the amount of shade, the clubroom facilities, lighting for night, storage and access. I'm going to present two options here, both of which have positives and negatives. So number one, probably the preferred option for the club, would be to do up from scratch the old bowling greens in the middle, which are currently waste. And that would give two courts. There would be some land left over. And in addition to that, renovate to the main two existing courts up the top. That would give us the four. The playing areas would be contiguous, and but you'd need access to Carnaby somehow, probably. The second option would be to redo the three croquet courts down the bottom, as sounds like is happening. Redo the three croquet courts and retain and work on improving one or two of the existing croquet courts. That would give us four or five courts. The advantages, we'd have the clubhouse, you've got storage, you've got lighting, but the playing areas are not contiguous. So in summary, there is a great opportunity here to become a hub for croquet. On that five court option, if what I'm saying doesn't come to fruition in an hour, in a year or two, you could take back the second court, because if we're not delivering for the five courts, you know, fair game. Happy to take councillors around and show them the issues involved with both of those options. Okay. That's it.
Hang on, Gallisit. Any questions from elected members?
Hi, thank you. I guess just curious, in terms of the original agreement that was signed, just understanding the representation of the club then versus now, to the extent there's a bit of a variance of preference, the current agreement as it stands does not envisage an extension beyond the lower courts.
Yes.
Which delivers three courts.
Yes.
So just, I suppose, confirming, I'm not completely across who the individuals involved at the time, and has that fundamentally changed, or is the current agreement...
Essentially, if we continued with that, we would continue essentially in the mode we're in, which is steady growth, probably a bit better because we'd have better courts, but we don't have that magic four. So there's been a change, yes, there is a big possibility, and... back in 2019, the initial advice was go for four courts. But three fitted in there, and we had two and a half, so maybe they thought, yes, you know, like for like. But yes, it has changed.
You can come forward, Lynn. Yeah. So I can speak to the microphone there.
Another aspect, I think, which is incredibly important, that's the...
Alistair, just sit down, both of you, sit down, that's fine.
The competition is very important. We have people that come to play at our club, but if they want competitions, they go to Como, they go to Cambridge, right? Because they can't compete on our courts. But they love our club because of the social side of it, the friendliness of our club. We have actively encouraged, we never say no to any player if they've got a disability. We actively encourage them to have a game. And I think for the well-being, and as you know, croquet generally is played by mature people. Unfortunately, we'd love to think 20-year-olds would come regularly, but at the moment it is predominantly more mature people that play, you know. And I think the well-being, mental and physical, is so important. And there's a lot of people that come for that reason. They might only play one game, then I'll sit and have a chat and carry on, you know, while others play on. They know their limitations. But I think for our club, that social side is incredibly important.
I would just... There is one variant of croquet called gate ball, which is very popular in Asia, played on small courts with digital recorders on their wrists and very fast game. They love it in Asia, gate ball. So we've got all the equipment for that.
And we did have a competition last year, and David, we're having another one in November this year.
David, come forward, David. Sorry. What's David say? This is David Farden. David was one of the key representatives when we were doing the agreements. Okay, thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just following up on the question that was asked. Initially, the opportunity to move to the new courts with the redevelopment of the complex was on the basis that there was an expectation that the croquet club was going to move. We really didn't have the option at that stage of staying where we are because of the inadequacy of the court and some longer-term plans and strategies that were for other uses of that plot. Ideally, at the time, we indicated we would have loved to have four courts, but the area that was available and the planning processes that went on determined that it was going to be we could fit three courts where they currently exist on the new site. So there was always a desire to have four courts because that's an optimum number to have. But what was overriding was that we really wanted to have a quality complex in terms of the lawns and the facilities because that's what attracts the players. Obviously, there's a social aspect to it that Lynn talks about as well, which is very dear to the members. Many who have been members for multiple years, tens and even up to 30-year members that we've got at the club. So that there's an attachment to the top area where we currently exist. The opportunity came up in some conversations that we had with the mayor where we were talking about, gosh, what would we really like? We really do want three quality courts that have been partly prepared. But the opportunity to be able to have either some space where we currently exist or on the old bowling green surface to give us a fourth court, if you wanted a real wish list, five courts would really put us in probably the premier position in the metropolitan area in terms of courts. There is only one other club in Western Australia that runs more courts than that, and that's at Morabinda at Hay Park Sports Complex in Bunbury, and they run six courts and are really in a position that they can host not only interstate and national events, but international events as well, because you just simply need those number of courts to work. So there is some background to why the changed position has arrived at, is that you know, we were working within the parameter of the three courts that were there, if we could have another one, and I suppose what has presented itself is the opportunity to try and see whether we can create a four-court facility by a combination of facilities of sites.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Don't worry. I'm just going to talk about the parking. The prospect of us having.
Can you come forward?
Come forward, Lynn.
Come forward. You need to speak to the microphone because be aware this has all been recorded. Yeah. So it's sorry, and set your name and address.
Yeah.
Your name?
My name is Lee Phillips, and I live in Salvado Avenue, East Fremantle.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want the number?
Yeah.
One?
That's fine, that's fine. Good.
I'm a member, and I really love to play croquet. Where we are at the moment is just a fantastic location because it's up on top of the hill, and our game is in the middle of the day, you know, and you get a sea breeze come across the top, which you wouldn't get down the bottom. So that's sort of a comfort thing. I played today, and I really appreciated that situation. Now, when we get if we are able to have the courts that we would like to have that David's mentioned, and including the bowling club, I'm just trying to think, is it north of the bowling playing area? Is a very big area for parking. And with the football club, when they have games, everything is wiped out. There's no one can park hardly anywhere. So we had our own parking in that sort of spot on the corner, on the edge of the bowling club area. That would be really good because if we have a competition, we actually have somewhere that people can park. They don't have to park all the way down the end of Fletcher Street and all around the other streets, which, you know, is an inconvenience. And also the average age is a consideration as well. This croquet is keeping us all young by keeping playing. And so to encourage us to be continue playing, and then because of the competition wise, if we have good courts, we can have international and etc., which Dave has just mentioned. It's a beautiful location. The birds, it's just fantastic. So okay. I really would like to be able to stay up the top. So if that's helpful.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Your question?
Yeah. Sorry, I just have two questions. First question, I've just heard a little bit of difference in regards to the two top courts, and I guess it's in regards to playing condition and whether they can be used, for competition. So I understand that the current condition of those two courts is that they're not suitable for competition playing. I'll finish my question. And then... if they were refurbished, could the size of those two of the area that's there make them suitable for competition playing for the upper ones?
Absolutely.
I can't help you.
Come forward, David.
With respect to the condition of the courts, going back some years ago, Croquet West, which is the state body that we are members of, really made a decision on the basis of what the courts were then, that they were not suitable for any state-level competitions. They were appropriately, could be used for obviously our own club competitions and a pennant season, which is at a lower level in terms of than state-sanctioned sort of events. So it is some years since we've actually hosted them, and the only ones in perhaps the last 7 or 8 years that I can recall were at the lowest handicap at the highest handicap. So the least experienced and skilled players that were playing, simply because the court conditions, and that's grown historically over time. There's a mixture of grasses that are in there, not one grass, but multiple grasses, weeds, a lot of barriers to improving it. We go back, say, 7 or 8 years ago when we started the process of looking at the redevelopment of the whole complex. We were discouraged from making any applications for additional funds for upgrading the lawns because obviously it would have been money being sunk in at the time the decisions were being made about the future of the whole complex. Mm. We have got that challenge, and it's actually it was a decision that was made by Croquet West at that stage. We think the lawns have improved a little on what they were at that stage, but they still are rated very poorly in terms of metropolitan courts. I could take you to quite a number of clubs where they are much superior facilities and are able to host events.
Okay.
Thank you. I guess
in terms of, you asked a question about the amount of space.
There was. I had two questions. So, yeah. What I'm hearing is that at current conditions, they're not suitable, but it's not out with the realms of possibilities that they couldn't be made into a competition.
But you would have only two courts.
I understand. So, but you would have two courts that are competition size.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And my second question is with respect to if four courts were made available in terms of adequate competition size, and let's, for the sake of this conversation, say that they are on the croquet level and the bowling level.
Yes.
I'm just trying to ascertain what the number of events that you'd be looking at hosting per year could look like.
On an annual basis, I think it would be probably three or four state-level events where we could either be the main host, or if there are a quantity of players that has got to be played across more than one club, that we would have that opportunity. There is also a rotation of national events that occur every 3 years. There's two main forms of croquet: association croquet, which is the traditional, more strategic game, and there's another other form, which is probably the most popular, golf croquet. Both of those forms have national championships and an interstate series that's played. For example, after Easter, the AC National Championships and the interstate series runs over 10 days, and that is actually hosted predominantly by the clubs that have four courts in the metropolitan area, which are Cambridge, Nedlands and Como, and Forest Park, which is in North Perth, which has three courts and is a very central location. So they would be the sort of events that you'd be hoping to participate in. It would also make it more possible for us to host our own events that are open to all of the different clubs, and it's quite a popular way of generating revenue for your own club is to host other events that are not at that top tier. But when you've only got two courts, you're very limited by the numbers of people that you can actually have participate. And if you want to have your locals playing in them as well as visitors, it really limits you to about 16 players that can actually play in a tournament over a weekend.
And there's normal 5 days a week playing there, with the local.
Yeah.
Thank you. No further questions.
Okay. Councillor Maywood.
Sorry, just a clarification. I'm not super familiar with croquet. In terms of being eligible as a club to host national or state level competitions, is the requirement based on having the four courts, or is it based on the quality and area of the courts that you have?
If I may, because I sit on the State Management Committee at Croquet West, I'm the Vice President. So to give you some idea is that it's a combination of both. But the most critical aspect is the quality of the court and the playing surface. And then the number of courts you have enable you to host competitions that require those teams to be at the one location to play. There are, for example, this interstate series that's coming up can be played across three clubs with four courts each, because two states that they play on that one set of courts, two states play on another and two on another, and they actually use all four courts for that on those occasions. So the ideal number is four. It works really well. If you have more, it's better. Three, you can be used as a backup sort of facility for some parts, but you wouldn't host those events in your own right.
Yeah, keep going. Thank you.
So in terms of the club's ability to compete with clubs in Nedlands and Como who do have four courts, those clubs would be preference for state and national competitions because of their four courts, even if the croquet club had three high-quality courts?
Usually they would be, because they've got the four courts. It just happens that they are up to a quality, particularly Cambridge and Como, Nedlands has suffered the problem of their numbers dropping in terms of a club. The demographics got very, very old there. So where for this year's tournament, for example, that's being held, Croquet West is actually providing some assistance in terms of the preparation to ensure that the courts are at the very top level.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further questions? Counter-cut. Yeah, thank you, yes.
Sorry, and I may be asking something that we can't offer, but I'm curious. If, given that potentially the original arrangement was made with certain assumptions that the top court just wasn't available, if you were faced with the option of top court but with a surface brought up to standard or bottom court with a surface brought up to standard, is there a preference? Is there a consistent, like a consensus view? I appreciate that might be.
I think it'd be fair to say what we really do need is three courts. The numbers of players that we've got now requires us to have three courts. So that weighs very heavily in terms of the new facility. And I suppose that has always been the drawback of the top of the current location, is that we don't have those three courts. And we'll never be able to fit the three courts in unless there was some sort of way that you did away with the clubhouse and you changed the whole format. I mean, because there just physically isn't the space there. So the three courts is what, if we're going to grow the membership, it does actually require the three courts. And where those three courts are, whether that's the three new courts or it is a combination of some other permutation, that's what's really required for the club to be able to grow, because we've actually got to some very healthy numbers in terms of and not only having them as members but people who play really regularly and multiple times a week. You do need to have that facility there. There is a very strong affection for the location for the sorts of reasons that Lee just indicated, because of its position up high and the breeze and beautiful sunset when you're playing at night or at twilight. There's a very good social atmosphere around the club rooms, but I also recognise that the club rooms themselves have probably almost met their use-by date in terms of a number of aspects of them that would actually probably need refurbishing significantly as well.
Okay. Councillor, I will.
Sorry, one more. In terms of the membership numbers of the East Fremantle Croquet Club compared to clubs at Como and Nedlands, what's the difference? Do you know?
Okay, to give you, I sort of do have a reason. These won't be exact numbers, but in terms of our club membership, we at East Fremantle, we run 55 members. Yep. And historically, that was probably more in the high 30s and low 40s. So we've actually had a very good flow of new, and also recognising the demographic, is we do have a turnover of members simply because people can't continue to play for whatever reason, so we're having to regenerate membership regularly. We've been able to grow that, and we actually have a very healthy flow of members coming in. There wouldn't be a general meeting where we approve membership that doesn't go past where we would be admitting one or two new members. We'd like to have more. Compared to Como would sit as running at close to 100 members. And then Cambridge, which is at Floreat Park, just right near the Floreat Forum, they have the four courts there and they run about 80 to 90 members. They're a bit of a different operation because they actually have licensed premises, so they actually generate a lot of revenue out of functions and events and the like. And then Nedlands, which has four courts, at the moment I think is sitting on around 20-25 members, something in that sort of order. But as I mentioned, that's very much the nature of the suburb and the membership that's there.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. I'm not sure with your use of Carnaby's at the moment and what your plans to use Carnaby's in the future. Can you talk about how you've integrated into the current facilities and the use of the other facilities around you?
Obviously, it's some distance from where the club is. So when you have a regular day's play, it's not being used in the same sense as how the bowling club would be using it right as their immediate coffee shop on their doorstep, because people at croquet come in for about a 10-15 minute break mid-morning, and we make tea and coffee, help self-service within our own facility. In terms of the use of carnabies, obviously everybody now has been issued with their tokens, encouraged to use that, not only for their own personal benefit in terms of the discount that they get at carnabies, but to try and put some funds through that can be ascribed to croquet. I would say that's probably on the lower level at the moment. Simply, it's a matter of people using it, perhaps to go for a meal, or we try to use it on a monthly basis for club luncheons where we all go down as a group. And then I do know there are some who are using it privately quite a bit. But, for example, we have got coming up our anniversary. We're celebrating our 120th anniversary this year. Club was formed in 1906, so we're actually planning to have a celebration dinner there. And during the Air Cup, which is this interstate series that's coming up after Easter, my wife, Megan, who's a past president of East Fremantle Croquet Club and the state organisation Croquet West, is on the organising committee. So she's actually organised that the farewell function for about 80 people is being held at Carnabies. Even though Carnabies isn't one of the venues, East Fremantle isn't one of the venues that's being used, but we've actually tried to make sure, here was a perfect sort of facility for us to use. Now, ideally, we'd love to be using it on a more regular basis. I suppose it's about having the sort of tournaments and the clubs and players visiting that it's appropriate to go down and use the facility, given that most people get in their car and drive down and park there, believe it or not, because there's no easy access down.
Yeah, it's good that there. Okay. Lovely. And did Lee have another question? Lee, did you have another comment you want to make?
Just quickly, the maximum people you can put on two courts at any one time, okay, is 16. Now, we went to, I've written it in there in that note about York, and they had 32 players. That's a maximum they could take. That competition was sold out, but they couldn't take any more because they only had two courts, all right? And the other half had to sit through one game while the others played. And when we say 60 members, our youngest is 21 and our oldest is 92. So we do cater quite wide. And thirdly, I think, what was it going to be? Must have been a lie. Can't remember. But I think, no, forget it. Sorry. No? Oh, yes. All our players, they're not just members of a club. We are playing members. We don't have them just for, when we said 58, we're talking about players, not people just to go and look. We do have others, which are for social, that might just come for competitions to watch and things like that. But ours are playing members.
But I also note that you've got this 120 events thing happening, which is all about the amount of energy you've got in the club, bringing back to the community.
120 events, and Helen is instrumental in that. So and we've got a banner we've put up for it, and we do various things. You may have all seen our poppies, and that's just going to grow because someone bought it up from an English situation. So.
Okay. That was Remembrance Day.
Remembrance Day.
Yes, if they met last year. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. If there's nothing more questions, thank you, Alistair. As I said, this item, which will be discussed by council later in the evening, because of the I guess the legal report that we've now received, we'll need to take that behind closed doors, which really means that it's not going to be open to viewing. But thank you for your time today. You're most welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but beyond that. But you also... okay. Sorry? You'll be late, no, otherwise, yes.
Thank you very much.
Look, thank you for your time.
Yes.
You want
to be a council event? You're in
the
whole council there. Because we need 40 in 3 months. So come along. I'm sorry.
Book at any time.
Okay. Moving forward to item 9. Eight. Any application for leave of absence? Okay, that's nil. Number 9.1, confirmation of minutes for meeting for the 17th of February. Can I have a mover, please? Thank you, Councillor. Okay, so moved by Councillor Boyd, seconded by Councillor Maywood. Any discussion? There's no discussion. I'll put that motion, please. Beck? And that's been adopted unanimously. Thank you. Announcements from myself. Look, I need to say just a few words. This, as represented by the report that you see in front of you, this month has been a big month. I will start in descending. For those who were here last night, we had our first citizenship ceremony. 16 people became citizens here last night, including a couple of children. From that, though, this facility there was at least 60 odd people here. It was packed. Okay. And obviously the staff did a fantastic job. Before that, we had the Rewild Verge event, which I personally attended, and that was an eye-opening looking at people's verges, particularly looking at natives. We had the local planning, first of the local planning workshop. We had, obviously, we had the Eastern Mount of Bites and Beats, okay? And then we also had... And then we also had all the other meetings that we all attended to. I also need to just point out that during this last time, we also had a death. Unfortunately, the council also put its condolences to Councillor Cutter for the death of your lovely father Bill. Bill Hazel was with us at the Pioneer's Lunch last year, and how, in the words of Janine May, how excited it was that we put an event on just for him. Okay, so I hope your family are doing well. Okay. Moving forward, I also note that I've sent an email out today where we're going to be introducing an en bloc system in regards to some of the items that we have in front of us. Just to describe what that looks like when we come to that point, I'll ask for elected members if they want to consider any items not taken off the list that's been put in front of you, okay, and then we'll take those out. From that point in time, I'll ask for a mover of those items, and we'll move those items in one decision. If there is any point that you want to have a discussion on any of those items, please raise that when we get to that point. We're just coming relatively soon. Do we have any questions in regards to that process? It's a process that is normally used by local government. It's not an unusual process. It does speed up, particularly where there's no discussion and no dissension. Okay. Councillor Wilson, did you see that email? And also, okay, all good. Okay, thank you. Lovely. In regards to unresolved business from previous meetings, it's nil. And then we're moving to the reports for recommendation of the committee. Now, given that this is where our en bloc starts, I note, and for those in the audience, okay, there was a number of items, and I'll read them out, that we'll be deciding on one go, unless they've been poured out. The first is 12.2.1, which is the Local Government Regulations Amendment Regulations. The second is 12.2.2, which is the Annual Financial Statements 2024-25, the Audit Status. Third is the 12.2.4, which is the Rates Collection Performance. The third is 13.3, the Access and Inclusion Plan. The fourth is the 13.4, which is the Review of the Local Emergency Management Arrangement and Local Emergency Management Committee meetings. The other one is 13.5, which is the Wailga Electoral Report Discussion Paper. And there's 13.6, which is the Retirement of Council Policy 1.2.3. And last is 13.8, which is the list of accounts for February 2026. Are there any items around council that people want to remove from that list? Councillor Constant, thank you. 13.5, thank you. Will that one be so removed? Okay. Is any other items to be removed? No. Therefore, can I have a mover for all those items? Councillor Cutter, thank you. A seconder, Councillor Maywood. Given that these items have no further discussion, I put that motion. Are we all good, Janine? Okay, that's in front of you to move all those in en bloc. Please raise your hands to accept that. Thank you. And that's been approved unanimously. Lovely. Okay, moving forward. So we've dealt with 12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12.1. Okay. Oh, sorry, yes. 12.1.2, Bulk Verge Collection. Can I have a mover for that, please? Okay, Councillor Constant and seconder. Councillor Harrington. Councillor Constant.
Yes, look, I apologise to the members of the Works Committee because I might repeat some of what I did say at the committee meeting. But it does seem as though we have very little choice given that there, we can't really get a contractor for this. But the reality is environmental groups have been pushing for Verge Valet collection for quite a long time now because of the obvious environmental benefits. We know with the bulk rubbish pickup, it messes up the whole street and we get a whole lot of stuff gets put out there that probably shouldn't be, that could be put elsewhere. When you look around the street, you often see people throw out a whole lot of cardboard, which should be recycled, children's toys, which should be put into the op shop, and a lot of the furniture that gets put out there really should be donated to op shops or secondhand stores. It's just a lazy thing to just throw it all out at once, and we've been used to doing that for so many years, but I think the results of it are pretty bad from an environmental perspective. And I certainly know the Wailga environmental officers have been pushing for the Verge Valet for quite a long time. As I mentioned, quite a number of environmental groups have as well. So the Verge Valet really minimises waste. It's on demand. It's at the time when you actually need it rather than just having to do it all at once with council. And what happens is people just clear out the sheds and throw everything out there without giving any thought whatsoever to whether it can be recycled or reused or whatever. So, and I know some of the arguments in favour of the bulk verge, and I know there will be a backlash. There certainly will be, because people, when anything that they're used to gets taken away, are going to complain. But once people get used to it, I think it will work very well. And one of the arguments in favour, they say, well, people do go around and they pick things up and theoretically reuse them. And that does to some extent happen. But it's very haphazard, and I still see a lot of good stuff that just gets chucked into landfill. And And in many ways, even the red bin is better because at least that goes to waste to energy, and there was some recovery of metals from the waste to energy, which we don't get with the bulk verge as it is now, where it basically just, well, I know mattresses get recycled, but in general it goes to landfill. And I did give an example at the Works Committee. Myself, when I moved house a few years ago, I had this beautiful cupboard that was in perfect condition, and there was just a verge collection just when I moved out, and normally I would take it to the op shop, and stupid me, I'll put it out on the street. And what happened, the very next night, some, I presume, young people just came around and decided to have a bit of a lark. They just chucked it out, threw it over, it smashed into bits and pieces. It was no use to anybody, even though, it was probably worth $500 or more. So, overall, I think, well, given that we don't have much choice, there's not much else we can do other than give it a trial, and let's hopefully it's success.
Thank you, Councillor Constan. Councillor Hamilton? Councillor, the Speaker, sorry.
I agree generally with Councillor Collinson that people just throw things out and things should be recycled, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't actually believe that that will make much difference to the process. And I do believe that this is very popular and people like it. And we'll be looking at it, as I understand, for a couple of years before we think about it again. And but I think when people go to clean out their houses, particularly if they're moving, it's all or nothing and it goes. And people don't really care about the toys, and they should, and it's a dream that you want to have. But I think this is something that might help with that process, but I do believe we should trial it.
Yeah, thank you. Is anyone want to speak against the current motion before us? You can, thank you.
This is not for or against. I mean, I'm generally supportive. It was more a couple of comments, mostly around whether confirming that the operational impacts can actually include resource recovery statistics, because I noted that the Verge Valet Service, to Cliff's point, Councillor Collison's point, that it typically results in better outcomes, but I actually think that's a really important message, and it's what's important to the residents as well from a climate action perspective. But actually, that is a key benefit that can be delivered. So if we could ideally articulate that and be part of the operational statistics that we actually track as well, I think that'd be really helpful. And then I was also looking at City of Subiaco's feedback, where they had a trial and reverted back to the scheduled collections. One of their challenges was around people leaving waste out for extended periods of time. So I think, again, I gather there's quite a lot of education tools and information that comes with it, but just making sure, I suppose, we preempt why these trials might otherwise fail, just to give ourselves maximum success. But otherwise, everything I've read about circular economy outcomes, this seems to be stepping in the right direction.
So there's a question there to Jax.
Was that a question? It was more like really. Can we include that in the operational measurements?
Jax?
Through the chair, so certainly we'd be tied to the statistics that they actually take, but that's certainly a conversation we'll take back to Verge Valley, and I would be very surprised if they weren't able to provide that information. And absolutely, yes, in terms of the management and education, we will be ensuring that that happens. And they're very experienced now in rolling out these programmes. So I think that would go very well.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to speak for? Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you. I do note that the current service provider has limited options in terms of when this service can be done, and June is certainly suboptimal in terms of weather conditions and, the aspiration that it's sort of reused locally. Noting that less service providers, I guess, is ultimately at the crux of some of the larger local governments that surround us and some of their procurement decision-making. I support it on the premise of it being a two-year trial. I guess just monitoring some of the common issues that are encountered by neighbouring local governments, including, the pylons, the demand spikes at particular times of the year, as well as some petitioning, particularly around the City of Melville, to reinstate the verge collection and the diminished sort of concentrated opportunity for local reuse. I'm also curious about whether or not the emissions will in turn reduce as the result of multiple ad hoc trips throughout the year, as opposed to one concentrated effort. Mm-hmm. Certainly don't support skip bins. It's not particularly age-friendly, having to lift things up and into that. But, yes, on the whole, supportive on the basis of it being a trial.
Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Look, I'll also make a positive statement. I also like to thank the Works Committee for coming up with this motion. I know it's a positive step forward. I also note that we maintain the current service that we're doing at the moment in terms of the in terms of this service equivalent to the current bulk and green verge collection. So I also support this, knowing that the disposal of rubbish is a prime responsibility for local governments. So it's very key that we ensure that we get a service that can be delivered, because I know it is a difficult service to obtain in the current market. Okay. If there's nothing further, Councillor Collinson would like to close.
Oh, look, I don't think it's going to change the outcome, but one thing I did forget to mention when I was speaking was the risk of dumping, because what happens now when people see, oh, the neighbouring council, they've got all their bulk collection at the moment now, so let's take our stuff and dump it in the neighbour's council, and that's another thing that does happen. It happens frequently, and at least this will eliminate that as well.
Thank you. Look, I note that the recommendation is on, I think it's on page 16, and it refers to the two-year trial for the on-demand bulk verge, as well as the CEO to authorise the enter into necessary arrangements, as well as the review of the trial to be undertaken prior to the expiry of that. So if that's the case, I please ask to raise your hand to support that motion. Thank you. And that's been approved unanimously. Lovely. Moving forward, we go to 12.1.2, which is the moorings jetty. Okay. Can I have a mover, please? Thank you. Councillor Wilson, a seconder. Councillor Maywood, thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I guess as chairman of the Works Committee, firstly, what I'd say is that the report came to the Works Committee at short notice. What I will say, though, is that it's a prudent response to what is a risk-based management plan to council assets. So the report clearly indicates that both the jetty structures, all the mooring pens outside the left bank, and the jetty structures around the boat ramp are in need of immediate works. And we need to take place, or we need to put in provision a budget to execute those works. So it's pleasing to see now that these assets are on the town register, and it's pleasing to see that we're taking a critical view on whether the town should continue to operate those assets. What I would say, just for clarity, is that the consideration around owning or being responsible for those assets largely pertains to the mooring pens outside of Left Bank. There's been no discussion in regards to not managing the boat ramp facilities. But the report in itself is comprehensive, and I thank the works team. I thank the officers in preparing the report, but also the consultants that were engaged to prepare what is quite an extensive report in highlighting this risk. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Maywood.
Thank you. I concur with Councillor Wilson's comments and have no further comment.
Okay, lovely. Does anyone want to speak against the motion? Does anyone speak for the motion? Look, I'll just make one statement that I note that the income that we receive from the duties is around the $170,000, okay, which after the fixed cost only leaves us around $90,000 to deal with this. So I believe this item will come up again when we're dealing with budgets this year. So be prepared to talk about what is needed and particularly maybe be a little bit innovative in terms of how we deliver what we need to service. Okay. Therefore, I ask Councillor Wilson, would you like to close?
Yeah, no further comments.
Okay, lovely. I then ask you to look, I think it's page 32, which is the recommendation before us, which notes and identifies a number of items, which includes the boat jetties as well as the Lewin boat ramp, plus also, more importantly, endorses the risk-based asset management approach that needs to be had in regards to the mooring jetties, because I note there's been not a lot of work done to them. So for that put forward, please raise your hand if you agree with the motion, and that's approved unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Moving on, we get to, I think the next one on our list is 12.2.3. That's correct? Yeah. Okay. Which is the adoption of the media budget. 12.2.3. Okay. Which is on page, I think it's 177. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Cutter, thank you, Senator. Councillor Wilson. Councillor Cutter.
I wanted to comment on the divestment that was mentioned. So pleasing to see that that's now something that's been achieved. That's one of the comments that's come up a few times in terms of where we hold our funds. So that was a great result for that. And... sorry, just skimming through. And there was also a reference to the funding of the Miriwaki Forest as well, within that as well. So great to see some progress on that, and obviously noting that that's coming out of the reserve account as well. So that's the only additional comments I had to make on that. But thanks again for a very thorough report.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson?
No, I... The only comment that I'd like to make is, once again, thanking Peter for... Executive Manager for Finances, Peter Kosian, for the efforts that he's put in, and it's pleasing to see a slight budget surplus at this point in the year, which gives us some level of buffer as we go into the next 6 months. I appreciate some hard decisions have had to be made to release or to find that buffer, and let's hope we don't need it.
Okay. I know we require an absolute majority with this item. Does anyone want to speak for this item?
Councillor? I need just to say that my comments refer to the wrong item. So
that's okay.
I was for 13.7.
I think that was your closing, wasn't it, Councillor? Okay. If that's the case, I put that item, I think it's on page 184. Everyone, absolute majority is required. Please raise your hand to adopt the motion. Thank you. And that's been approved unanimously. Okay. Moving on, we're now moving through the agenda. So we're now getting to... 13.1, which is the East Fremantle Community Park WF football requirement.
209.
It's 209, yes, thank you. See ya.
I can give introductory comments if it helps.
Okay, let's do that, yes?
Sure. Councillors, if with the permission of the Chair, I just wanted to give some perhaps opening remarks, because this was quite a complex item, as you probably are well aware, and there's a lot of different issues. So I think, firstly, the report isn't today asking Council to approve a fence or any works tonight. It's seeking in-principle support to undertake community consultation on the perimeter control options and conditions following formal advice from WA Football that perimeter control is required under the WAFL rules and venues policy for the fixtures at East Fremantle Community Park, Cogrosa Park. But no design, expenditure or works are being sought to be approved through this item. Any proposal beyond consultation would come back to Council with the consultation outcomes. I've now received, as we shared earlier and will be tabled in the agenda and therefore in the minutes, WA Football's now provided written clarification of the regulatory basis and reasons for the perimeter control requirement, including safety and crowd management and the need to enforce terms of entry consistently across all Waffle venues. And it applies not just to the Waffle men's matches, but Waffle women and all WA Football sanctioned competitions. So it's not just the 9 home games, it could be a considerable amount more than that. As was advised in the email I sent today, which was about that letter, a temporary exemption applied for the 2025 season, but WA Football said a future exemption has not been authorised, and that was communicated to the club around about October last year. So attachment 4 of the plan, which came from the East Fremantle Football Club, is for information only. It hasn't been formally assessed, verified or endorsed. There's obviously it came only very much late last week. And it does contain some assumptions about governance, consultation pathways, funding and timelines. So the recommendation has really been framed around a staged governance response, because the overall community park was delivered and communicated as an open access precinct, and therefore council should retain control of conditions, design and cost exposure. But tonight you're being asked to decide only whether to proceed to consultation on the options and conditions. You're not being asked to approve whether or not there should be a fence, what kind of fence it should be, and so forth. I'm happy to take questions, but otherwise, throw it back to you.
Thank you. Any questions of the CEO? Councillor Wilson, I think, had a hand first.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious, I guess, while no final decision's been made, if you could expand on the procedure or how you see it playing out, where we're being requested to seek the funding from the state government. I'm just interested in understanding that procedure.
Through the chair.
Sorry. And I guess to ask what we would do if they rejected that funding request.
It goes to probably some of those matters I've made in my introductory remarks. There is some things that have been assumed in that paper that's been put to us. All I can say is the East Fremantle Football Club, through the CEO, has advised he's been in contact with the state government in regards to the availability of funding, and he believes he's received support that funding would be agreed to, subject to a formal approval. The fact that it's effectively the town's facility would mean that, as the owner of the facility, we would need to actually be the grant recipient of any funds. So if the football club were to facilitate the process, then it would come through to the town in order for us to receive the funds to actually undertake any installation of a fence at that time. So that is yet to be... The governance arrangements around it are one of those unknown questions at the moment, because tonight you're thinking about consultation about where we are and seeking what the community may wish to input into the proposal. But we would then equally need to determine with the state government how the funding arrangement would actually work. So to go to your second question about what happens if there's no funding, well, it's been consistently, since we became aware of this just in early February, the position has been put, the town's position is that if there were to be a fence, then it shouldn't be expected that we would have to pay for it. So I don't know the answer as to what happens if the state government doesn't fund it.
Councillor Cutter, question?
Yes, I suppose it's... do you have a view as to what sort of options are being presented? So from my understanding, a consultation involves sort of, I guess, a range of options, whereas, for example, if we use the bulk waste as a comparison, that was in form only because there was seen to be really no other option. So in this scenario, I suppose, just trying to understand feasibly what options might actually be available to us and whether they're realistic options. If that's something you have a view on, then obviously that's what we would be presumably consulting on. And I'm just wondering whether we have enough information yet.
Through the chair, certainly the question about funding is one that's still not well known, but whether you need to go into the detail of how we might get the funding, I would imagine in speaking with the manager of community engagement and communications, who's already commenced the drafting of that consultation and engagement strategy, it really is to provide information to the community about the requirement by WA Football for the perimeter control at East Fremantle Oval, and share the reasons, because people are asking why does this need to be considered, and educate them about the what the implications are, what would the fence look like, where would it be located, what parts are permanent, what parts are temporary for match days, whether there are openings, all those kind of things for other than match days. In terms of the dollars and cents, it would be, as is suggested in the report here, it would be any potential agreement, which is the next stage, would likely be subject to council saying it needs to be funded by another party, not the town. And equally, we would look at ensuring that there wouldn't be an entry fee being charged on match days, because that was the other premise of this, not just no fences, but there would be free entry. So there's a couple of conditions that council could consider in that subsequent report, but the consultation would really be to go to the community to share with them why we're having to talk about it and seek their views, not just on whether or not they support a fence or a no fence, but whether or not the proposal that's been put to them would be acceptable, or whether it could be modified in a way that could be made acceptable.
Okay. Any other questions, the CEO? Councillor Wilson?
Yeah, apologies. In the consultation process, I'm just wondering that the figures that are proposed in Attachment 2 and Attachment 3, are they the designs that would be presented to the community for comment? Attachment 2 being the white picket fence and the dark black brown picket fence, and Attachment 3 being the plan view of where there would be continuous permanent picket fencing and temporary picket fencing.
Through the chair, that is the proposal I've received from the football club. My intention would be, should council support this recommendation tonight, is to refine that with the football club, because there are a little bit of unknown elements. Some of it is a little unclear on the overall map. And also, I had already spoken with the CEO about making provision for increased openings, particularly on the Allen Street section that's proposed. So we may be able to refine that to present something that would be more akin to what eventually would be delivered. Notwithstanding that, the consultation would also is designed to tease out some of these elements back from the community. So I don't want to delay the start of the process just to get the perfect solution if the community has its own input anyway, because that can be part of the next stage. So we'll refine what they presented to us to make it clearer when we present to the community what's being considered.
I have a question to the CEO. The resources required in regards to the consultation, the type of resources and the level of resources required?
Yeah, it is obviously an issue, given we have a number of processes we're currently undertaking, be it with the local planning scheme review, event management. There's a number of concurrent processes that are really ensuring that the team is fully committed. It's probably a little early to say, but it, as I mentioned in the report, it's likely that we're going to have to identify what other projects may need to be deferred or delayed in order to progress this, because this would be, for the reasons as articulated in the report, would need to be elevated to priority status so we don't further delay the eventual decision, because it has an impact on the football club and equally ourselves. So there could be some reshuffling of priorities even in conversations with the manager, to consider bringing in external support at this stage, is there is an investment of time to bring people up to speed. So I think we've got the most of the materials, we just need to shape the materials, and we'll be using our regular platforms to communicate, to actually call for the submissions. We think we can do that within our existing resources, but we'll need a reprioritisation of potentially other projects we're working on at the moment.
Yes. Okay. Councillor Hamilton. Speaker. A question?
Yeah, it's a query more than anything. When I read that document, basically this is around vilification, conduct of people, didn't mention too much about money coming in. But if this goes out to the public, our public, and they don't want this fence, and the football club still does, we come against a hell of a stalemate, don't we? And, you know, it has been clear that from the beginning, and they've been very aware of it, although it does say that they weren't aware of it, that there would be no fence. So where do we stand with that stalemate?
I'm happy to answer that question. At the end of any consultation, the members around this room will make that decision.
Good.
That's all I'm going to say, because that has been a discussion point, and council will make the decision with the consultation, knowledge of the consultation and what that might mean. Yeah, thank you.
But the worry then is what the AFL is saying is that they will not be able to play. None of the genres will be able to play. And are we accepting that? Big deal.
The East Fremantle Football Club has a licence to play, but they may not have the right to play without a perimeter / venue. So that's something that they need to deal with and we need to deal with. Okay. The only thing I'm going to say is that right now we are working collaboratively with the football club as well as other stakeholders to find a solution. And that's what this approach is hopefully going to engender. The solution may be altered somewhat by post the consultation, but we need to find out. We need to ask the question. The question was asked, do we even need a consultation? And the answer was absolutely, because the primary project was supported based on what the public told us in regards to the fence. So any alteration to that this council needs to make, we need to consider that to the heart of this decision. Okay, but knowing all the facts is important. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Do you want to add anything further, CEO?
Maybe just one quick thing is that if feedback is strongly opposed, one of the things council will have to weigh up is weighing up that response alongside the consequences that WA Football's actually outlined, including whether the fixtures can continue without suitable risk mitigation. So consultation will help identify alternatives and conditions to potentially reduce the impacts that people may have expressed through the consultation process itself. Council, as the Mayor said, could still decide not to proceed, but it would do so in a way that's transparent and would understand and communicate the consequences clearly.
Okay. I think we all questioned any further questions. If not, then I ask for a mover for the item, please. Councillor Wilson, thank you. A seconder? Councillor Maywood? Councillor Wilson?
Yeah, listen, I'll limit my motion in that the report speaks for itself. It seems to be that this is a process that we need to go through. Shows our intent to actively engage with the community, and let's see what the response is.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood?
No further comments.
Okay. Would anyone speak against the report and the motion? Does anyone want to speak for it? Okay. Okay, if there's nothing else, Councillor Wilson, would you like to...
Nothing further, thank you.
Nothing further. Therefore, I will ask you to, I think it's page 218, which is the recommendation that notes the advice from WA Football, notes the requirements that in regards to the consultation reaffirms the what our primary community, primary what we're trying to achieve here, the process that we'll endeavour to go through using IAP2 spectrum in regards to the consultation, as well as the request for the CEO to consult with those other parties. So, therefore, I put that motion forward on page 208. Raise your hand to accept that motion, and that's been accepted unanimously. Thank you. Okay. This is where we get to 13.2. The CEO, I think we're going to move this item. Is that correct?
Or we can go behind closed doors now, come in and come out. It's up to you.
Yeah. Actually, let's do that. So we're going to, at this point in time, we're going to go behind. So 13.2, which is the award for the tender for the solar, for the town. Given that we have contractual matters, there's a need to go behind closed doors. Therefore, I'll put up a procedure motion pursuant to section 5.23 bracket 2-C, section...
This is actually this one, 5.8, just a second.
Okay, it is too.
Sorry, no.
I was right.
It's legal advice.
Thank you. That will go behind closed doors to resolve the members of, and therefore close the meeting to members of the public for consideration for agenda 13.2. Okay, so sorry, David, but you're... Now, can I have a seconder, please, for that, Councillor Maywood? Okay, thank you. I put that motion to close. Go behind closed. Please raise your hand, and that's been approved unanimously. Lovely. Doing a. Okay.
We do have Nicola here.
Nicola, would you like to step forward? Do we need to close the?